Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
10:59, hour two of Show and Vern. I am Ron, the show Hughley. That is Joshua Lamont Vernier. Steve Serna is producing this bad boy. Remember, your next chance here in just over 30 minutes to win $1,000 comes at 11:30. At 11:30, coming up, remember your chance to win $1,000. Vern will have the next code word for you as we get winners here.
This segment of Show and Vern presented by Mazeries Jewelry. Four generations of distinctive jewelry located in Leawood.
Can you read this? Because I can't even read it. Every time I read it or hear it, so it's better that I hear it than read it. It just...
This is from Ken Rosenthal.
It boggles my mind.
The great Ken Rosenthal from The Athletic. In his write-up yesterday, he mentions, quote, the Royals are talking internally about making a run at the second wild card. And the idea, at least according to the math, is not as crazy as it sounds. The team, while owning the worst record in the American League, faces just an 8-game deficit. More realistically, the Royals will just continue building and possibly return to contention sooner than expected.
So when I hear the 8-game deficit, that's beautiful because they have to climb over every other team in the American League because they have the worst record in the American League. I found that just fantastic. But before I got over how ridiculous this is, I feel like, as something Vern says all the time, when you hear things leaked, that means certain people wanted it out there. And so when you hear that...
Actually, the Orioles have the worst record.
Oh,
right,
did they climb over them?
Kind of, by percentage points.
Percentage points. Yeah. But when you hear that, to me, I feel like that was for the fan base. And for the fan base in terms of, hey, we want to let you know, man, we still want to be competitive. We're here, and we don't want to lose you. We want you to come. And I get that. But, man, you think I'm in the minority. And maybe I am. Maybe other people don't feel this way. But, Vern, I knew what time it was with this team. I knew this roster. Even if I tried to make myself. I told you, we went to spring training. I came back. I couldn't even really get that excitement thing that you could even fake yourself to as a fan because you know what it was about. Then Salvi goes down and you're like, okay, definitely no. This is going to be the next step in the rebuild process. Vern, I don't need this team to get fake wins. I don't need this team to get to 70 wins or 75 wins. Nope. I need to see what we saw last night. Guys like Nicky Lopez, guys like Bubba Starling, finding out what we have. I don't need to have them come out and push things that I in my opinion, doesn't seem realistic. Them going after the second wild card and climbing over everybody except for the Orioles, and that depends on what happens tonight. That's not realistic to me. And I don't need that. I'm not mad. I got my championship in my back pocket. That didn't happen that long ago. I want them to win, but I got the championship. We knew there was going to be residuals from that. We knew that. And I'm not one that needs them to put up wins right now. Now, in 2 years, all right, there should be a turn. We should start seeing more competitive baseball. But Singer and Coart and all those guys, they're not even up here yet. And I just don't need that from this. I don't, and I love, I know Dayton and them and whoever leaked this, and if they are internally having these conversations, I don't. It's not realistic, in my opinion, and I don't need that as a fan. And maybe some other fans, you're sitting there and saying, I need to see 75 wins. I need to see improvement right now from this group. Why? Vern, you spent a lot of time telling me how many guys on this team are going to be a part of the next team that's competitive. I don't need to see that. I'm a big boy. in weight and in maturity. I don't need to. I don't need to see that. Like, I don't need to hear it.
Yeah, I think that's more of a reflection of you and where you're at with Royals fandom, or maybe your level-headedness, or maybe your understanding of how things are working in this market in Kansas City, how that organization is run from the owner. But yeah, I do think you're in the minority. I'm reading Sam Mellinger's piece online today, where he takes questions from fans, and the fans are already starting to bubble over with, I don't want to say anger towards the Royals, but, well, shoot, man. When the Rays were in town, you wondered aloud, man, are there people that look at the Rays and say, why can't that be us? Why do we have to bottom out in the way that we are in 2019, the way that we did in 2018? Maybe it's not completely bubbling over just yet. But yeah, I do think you're in a minority in that you look at this team, 15-27, and go, I don't need any explanation. I get it. I think most people want an explanation. Most people want, why aren't there more kids coming up? Why wasn't Nicky here sooner? What are we doing with Billy Hamilton? What are we doing with Chris Owens?
But that's different than to me saying we need to be having more wins. Like, those are questions about and pertaining to what I think the team is about, which is the future. That is, those are rebuild questions. That's not questions like, hey, how come we won't go out and go get such and such right now so we can make a real run at the second wild card? Why won't we go and do something so we can get 75 wins? I heard that from somebody today saying, like, I think the Royals need, maybe it was Fesco, said they need to get 75 wins. I don't need that. I knew coming into it what this was about.
Here's what Ned Yost had to say yesterday to Rustin Dodd of The Athletic when asked about Nicky Lopez being promoted. Ned Yost, quote, what it's based on is I think that if we can finish 3 games over .500 this month, 4 games over the next month, and maybe 4 or 5 games over the next month, and then 4 or 5 games over the next month, by the time we get to August, in the middle of August, we're going to be .500. And if we can get to .500 by the middle of August, we're right in the middle of this in the division. End quote. Ned Yost, who's still floating out the idea of we're better than our record would indicate. Look at the run differential. We can be there when it matters most in the middle of August heading into September. I like the attitude from the skipper.
Yeah, but I'm not surprised.
I want the skipper saying stuff like that.
Yeah, I'm not surprised that they say that, or I'm not surprised that Witt says I'm sick and tired of losing.
Because
they're in it.
But let's be honest about this entire thing. That's the attitude you want from your manager, and I think you're getting the attitude that you want from your general manager. So when you read the report that Rosenthal says the Royals believe that they could vie for the second wild card, the general manager hasn't showed you anything as if they're going to part with a piece to go for it this year. So a lot of it is just empty words, motivation from a manager, but inactivity from your general manager, which is exactly what you should want to see right now.
It felt like, stay with me, fans. Stay with us. Stay with us. Stay with us. Yeah, and I'm just one that's like, I understand what's going on. We saw that it was going to be a rebuild, and we should know what a rebuild is. There's no desperation in getting to the playoffs or winning. We have that. We've got our championship in our back pocket. I don't need unrealistic things to be talked about to keep me as a fan understanding of what the plan is.
Lehman fires a contested three. No good. That's it. Game one is over, and it goes to the Dubs. Final score, Warriors 116, Portland 94.
Again, it is impossible to get the Warriors Radio Network excited about anything other than championships. That was the final call from last night's Game 1 victory.
Vern, in the last 2 games and a quarter, like, it has really surfaced the real and major reason to me why I want Kevin Durant to be gone after this year from Golden State. At first, I'm not going to lie, it was selfishness. I wanted it to benefit LeBron, if I'll be honest. And then it was also, it just feels like it's just unfair. You know, the end of the story, you know, something crazy would have to happen for Golden State to lose with all of those guys on the team. So also balance to the league. But Vern, really what it is, outside of being a fan and watching your team win in big moments, my favorite thing in sports is watching greatness. Like watching greatness. You remember a great performance under pressure. Yordano Ventura, one of my favorite moments, watching his greatness show. You can remember Deshaun Watson at Clemson, Tiger. We could Patrick Mahomes this year, watching great performance, the end, the last drive against Baltimore. There is nothing better than watching greatness. And to me, with Kevin Durant in Golden State, it feels like to me we have had Steph Curry's greatness ripped away from us. The potential to be able to watch his greatness ripped away from us. And in the last two games and quarters that Golden State has played, when they closed out the Rockets and then game one yesterday, you got to see Steph Curry's greatness on full display. And help Draymond. You could see why Draymond was so valuable when Kevin's not there. So that to me is the number one reason now for me why I want Durant gone, is because I want to see the greatness of Steph Curry displayed at its height. And it's not. It has not been. I've almost forgotten about Steph's greatness since Kevin Durant has been there, unless until I watched these last two games in a quarter.
Aren't you just being prisoner of the moment? I mean, Durant, yes, he took over throughout this postseason prior to the injury, but Steph Curry has those moments all the time when he takes over. No, it's not every single moment like it has been for the past 2.5 games, but over the course of the regular season, if you're looking for the greatness of Steph or the greatness of Clay, they show up every once in a while. It's just Kevin Durant might be one of the seven best basketball players of all time.
Every once in a while. But before that, like, Steph was playing to that level more, and he defers, and Clay's another one. But especially Steph, he defers in a major way.
You know what? Bravo. Bravo. You acknowledged out of the gate that part of this had to do with selfishness originally, that you wanted LeBron's road to the finals a little bit easier in the West. You mentioned that and then tried to present this, I miss the great Steph Curry.
I do want to see the greatness. You don't believe me?
I thought your best performance was yesterday with Tom Martin and Danny Welniak on KCTV5. But that performance, when you tried to act as if, I forgot how great Steph was.
I did. Steph.
Bravo.
I haven't seen that Steph in multiple
years.
Steph's
so fun.
I haven't seen that.
He's Steph Curry.
I have not seen that Steph in multiple years.
He almost made a half-court shot with his left hand.
And he's got a fractured finger on that left
hand.
He's
Steph Curry. No,
I know he's Steph,
how great,
but we have not seen this uber-aggressive Steph when he's in.
I gave it up to you
already.
Come
on, man. The integrity that you... Three, two, one. One, two, three. What the heck is bothering me? You! You are what's bothering me!
Show and Vern, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending at kclend.com.
Hello, beautiful people. Your chance to win $1,000 coming up here in 13 beautiful minutes. 11:30, Vern will have your next code word in our national cash contest. Remember, be listening. $1,000 right here on Show and Vern.
Bananas to say, but would Salvador Perez hit eighth in that lineup last night? Look, I understand that he's a fan favorite still, and we still have the visions of the greatness that is.
What are you? Are you being serious right now?
Martin Maldonado caught last night and hit eighth. If Salvi was healthy, I think Salvi's the eighth hitter in this lineup. Now, I'm not trying to do lineup talk, but I don't know if Royals fans understand either how suddenly deep this lineup just may be. And if you think you then maybe you don't understand how good of a season Jorge Soler is having, or how quick the offense of Salvador Perez can and likely will fall. Look, Martin Maldonado has already made a lot of people forget about Salvador Perez's defense. But the offense, to me, is the thing that a lot of Royals fans bring up, man, could you imagine this offense with Salvi too? No doubt it would be better. Obviously, Salvi's a 10 times better hitter than Martin Maldonado, but I still think we're talking about an 8 hitter.
You serious, Clark?
Dead serious.
You don't...
Eddie?
You don't think he'd bat over Ryan O'Hearn?
Just to split it up so there's not three straight righties. No. I think Salvi's in the 8 spot. You get to save those legs. Because he's still going to be trotted out there just about every single day because his defense is quality.
So you're being serious.
What do I have to gain by lying? Notoriety? No. Fame? No.
Vern, I just don't understand how. First off, well, if you're being serious, I don't even know why I'm doing this.
The season that Jorge Soler is having, yes, he strikes out.
He would be batting in front of Jorge Soler, and I'm asking you this question.
Salvi has never had a season like Jorge Soler is currently having. The stats that Soler has are better than any offensive season Salvi's ever had. Look, I love Salvi too.
Soler strikes out a lot, but he doesn't strike out like Sal does.
No, I would think he strikes out more than Sal.
Yeah,
it's
he
just
does.
He
just shut up, man.
When he makes contact, it's just much bigger contact than it is for Salvador Perez. Look,
Sal would have been the 4 hitter and may have never been moved because of where he is and how much they respect him on this team. And at worst,
Sal would not have been the 4
hitter. And at worst, to start the season, he would have been the four hitter to start the season. And the respect that they have with him, I'm not even confident they would move him. And second, even if they did,
they wouldn't move him if Hunter Dozier's putting up these kind of numbers.
And even if they did, they may drop him to 5th. Sal's not batting underneath Jorge Soler. I am a positive of that. Damn sure not under no Ryan O'Hearn. He would be batting no 8th.
I understand.
Now, I'm not
going to
say that
right.
You don't know baseball. You know more baseball than I do. I can admit that I'm more attractive, but you know more baseball than I do. But, man, I'm sorry. I know Ned, and I know how the respect he has on this team. Sal would be at least batting 5th. No chance he's batting 8th.
Gordo's hit 8th before. Gordo hit 8th on the championship team.
But Gordo was playing like he got hit by that car that Happy Gilmore did on the 17th hole. He was playing like he couldn't get anything done. I don't think Sal would just fall apart like that.
The fall that we saw last year. Look, Salvador Perez has been a slightly below average hitter for the past 5 years. And as he approaches 30, I can't imagine that it's going to get better. I hope that the defense doesn't fall off. Look, the Salvador Perez that we all fell in love with, I don't know if that guy exists anymore. The hopes that I had for Salvi of being inducted into Cooperstown, having that number retired, I don't know if those things are the locks that they once were. Salvi this season, if healthy, of course. Look, it's not a hot take. But if you dive into the numbers and you see what this offense has suddenly become, Salvi is your 7-8 hitter. If O'Hearn's not out there, if you're facing a lefty, sure, Salvi can get bumped up to 7.
At worst, he would be batting 5th. Right. And I think he's been your – and I would even argue
but Ron,
he's
you,
been –
you know it's Witt, Nicky, Mondi, Gordo, right? We could all agree that those – and Dozier, those 5 have earned the top 5 spots. Soler's more of a power threat than Salvi. And then you got to switch it
Is
up
he?
So it's not
what's,
three
what's,
straight.
What's Soler's career high in home runs?
Career high.
Because I bet you it's not
home
it's
runs.
Not Salvi.
It's not. No, of course not.
Salvi has been, at least, I'd say over the last 3 years, I may be off on this. Has he been one of the top 3 run producers on the team?
I have no
and
idea.
And I know Moose is not here any longer. Him and Moose were the top run producers on the team the last couple of years. I think he would be, and I think they trust him more than they trust Soler in the middle of the lineup. I'm sorry. I just don't see. He would have to be having Alex Gordon type of performances to where Alex Gordon, who is about to approach his home run high of last year of 9. He would have to be having that type of year.
Selvey had an OPS last season of 713. Jorge Soler has been about 830 for the past 2 years combined.
What were Sal's offensive numbers last year, all the way across?
Selvey last year had an OPS of 713, an OPS plus of 91. This year, in league average is 100, so he was a below average hitter.
And he led the
Jorge Soler has an OPS of 841 and an OPS plus of 122.
And he led the team in home runs and probably RBIs last year.
Yeah, but who cares? Who cares that he led the team in home runs? That team won, what, 60 games?
Oh, I get that. This team's awful, too. But to think that he would, in the middle of that order, I'm sorry, batting seventh or eighth. I just, for the respect they have for Sal, I just don't think there is.
Let me give these tickets
any
away.
Chance.
Well, I'm right. So Selvey would be the 8 hitter, and right now, now is your chance to win 2 tickets to
You're
see
not right.
Walk Off the Earth.
Oh,
yeah, Walk Off the Earth coming to Voodoo Lounge this Friday. And if you want to be there, you want 2 tickets, be the 7th caller right now, 913-576-7610. That's 913-576-7610. 2 tickets to see Walk Off the Earth as it comes to Voodoo Lounge on Friday.
Real thrilled about that.
Heck yeah.
We should be.
Get those tickets, baby.
Get them now. Yesterday, the big thing in sports was the draft lottery. And somehow the New Orleans Pelicans slid into getting the number one pick, and even worse, the Memphis Grizzlies getting the number two pick.
Stupid.
So Zion is going to go to New Orleans. And we've seen a lot of this over the years with a lot of people complaining about the draft process in sports around how come, you know, to do this comparison, hey, if I'm a musician, I can go and play wherever I want to. If I'm an engineer, when I graduate college, Vern, I can go play, I can go work in wherever place that I work at. How come I'm not able to pick where I play? How come I can't pick the team? It's unfair. Sports is different. Right? No, I think that is wrong. I think you get to pick, right? You pick. Zion Williamson, for example, can play in any basketball league he wants to. He could play in the NBA. He could play in Greece. He can play in China. He can play in Argentina. He can play in Turkey. He can play in Barcelona. He could play wherever he wants to. The D League. He can play wherever. Just like you could work at any law firm if you're a lawyer in the country that you want to work at if they hire you. But you don't get to go and pick where the hell or what cases you're running. When that company brings you in, they place you where they want you to be placed. And he chose to work in the NBA, and now he's in the NBA, and they're choosing where he goes. I don't think it's different. I have no problem with sports leagues and the draft operating the way they do, because you pick the league you want to play in, and then the league places you where you go.
You know, I strive to be that bleeding heart liberal, but, man, I can't be that right now. I was trying all last night of, yeah, this is unfair. No, it's not. It's not, man, I can't cry because Zion Williamson doesn't get a pick where he plays professional sports. It's just the latest example of why you can't compare real life to professional sports. Yeah, sure. Zion could go and play in any other basketball league that he wants at any other area of the country or of the world. But no, man, we want to play in the NBA. And you're going to make more money in the NBA than you would in any other league. So, again, you can't compare professional sports to the real life, because there's no other outlet like the NBA. If someone wants to try and start a competing league, best of luck. But we all strive to make it to the cream of the crop. We all strive to make it to the NFL or Major League Baseball, the NBA. You can't strive to reach some place and then complain about how that place works. It's how the NBA, the NFL, Major League Baseball, it's how it always goes. So enough of the sob stories for these kids.
I just don't think it's accurate. I just don't think it's accurate, because you get to choose. They choose what league he wants to play in, just like you would get to choose. I could go to any station in this country if they had me. But when I came here, I don't get to choose what time slot I'm in. They place me. Get it. Your chance to win $1,000 coming up in 2 minutes.
Show and Vern, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending at kclend.com.
All right, 11:30, your latest chance to win $1,000 in the National Cash Contest. Text the word ACT to 72881. ACT, ACT to 72881. Message and data rates may apply. You got another chance coming up at 12:30 to win. 12 chances each and every weekday from 7 to 7. Listen on the 30s for the code word and you could be $1,000 richer. Again, text the word ACT, ACT to 72881. That's ACT to 72881.
Congratulations to Steve and Lenexa, who picked up the Walk Off the Earth. Two tickets to see Walk Off the Earth at the Voodoo Lounge. Hope you enjoy yourself, Steve, and congratulations.
Give you another chance to win tickets later on in the show. Yesterday, Patrick Mahomes went to some police academy and just embarrassed Brett Veach when he was asked by Brooke Pryor if he ever thought about going to a police academy prior to becoming a football player.
I definitely would think about it. I know Veach isn't probably happy with that, me doing it anytime soon. So, but at the same time, it would be cool to see what they did on a day-to-day basis. But I know it would be hard and grinding to come out here and have to put on that 80-pound vest and run around.
Again, that audio courtesy of Brooke Pryor at the Kansas City Star. Man, show, you have taught me. You've explained to me where Brett Veach ranks in this organization, obviously behind Andy and behind Clark and behind Patrick Mahomes and
a whole host of other people.
You know what? I've accepted it. I understand it. You make a solid point, and it's difficult to argue your point. But, man, Brett Veach, I'm starting to feel bad for this young man, Ron. I feel like the next time he sees Pat, he has to – excuse me, Pat. Just a quick question. Pat, I know – just please, Pat. Pat, could you do me a favor and just stop with the whole Veach thing? The Veach doesn't like it thing. Pat, could you please do that? Look, I know I went along with your fake basketball game in Kansas. Maybe I created this monster, but, man, you're making me look like a punk out here. I mean, you got all these people on Twitter using, you know, hashtag don't tell Veach. I'm becoming a punchline. I'm becoming a meme. I'm becoming a joke. And as my friend, Pat, I'd appreciate it if you would just stop dogging me out like
this. Well,
they're
not friends.
I thought we were friends.
Well, I didn't say us. I said...
Oh, I was playing along. I was Veach, and I thought you were Mahomes.
Oh, you really dug into that.
That's what Veach... I think this is starting to annoy Veach.
You're right, man.
You don't think that's annoying Veach?
I'm sorry, yeah. I don't. No, I think he's just happy to have a job. He's like Frank Vogel to me. Lakers head coach now. I think he's just happy to have a gig, and he understands the role. I think he just laughs with it. Yeah, it's a good one. Good one. He'd have a better chance to me going to go tell Andy, hey, man, could you tell him to kind of back off a little?
See, or I think there's a mutual respect between a friend-like respect between Brett Veach and Patrick Mahomes.
That's why you saw
that whole fake basketball skit play out perfectly on social media Brett went along with it.
You think they're friends?
Yeah, I mean, they're both young dudes. I don't think they hang out like friends, but I think they treat one another as equals.
Nah, they just work together, and one works for the other.
I've never seen Pat as a guy that would openly disrespect someone. Pat, to me, is a grounded young man that treats everyone with respect.
Do you think he's disrespecting him with this?
No, I don't think he knows it. That's why Brett Veach needs to go to him and be like, man, it's just, you know, everywhere I go, people are like, oh, Brett Veach, you're the one that won't let Pat do anything. You know, and now you're out here joking. There are a lot of teammates of Patrick Mahomes that use the hashtag don't tell Veach. It's openly becoming a joke.
I definitely would think about it. I know Veach isn't probably happy with that, me doing it anytime soon. So,
like, that's unnecessary. We know you're not going to join a police academy. Of course your general manager would be mad if you left football and joined a police academy. Why you got to do this, Pat?
God knows
Brett Veach doesn't ask for much, man. He doesn't even ask for all the credit.
He shouldn't ask for anything. He should ask for anything.
Oh, he can't even be a man? How's he supposed to get a woman, man?
Man, he's got a woman. Know your place. And that
when he sees
place.
Veach, you better go he, through like, Andy. Smacks him on the butt.
No. He doesn't say anything to him.
Just zero respect for him.
No, but that's not Pat. What have you seen from Pat that would make you believe that he's disrespecting anyone? The only person he's disrespecting... Nope, never mind. You got to do right by her, Pat.
Oh, God. Leave her out of this. He's not disrespecting her. He's just living his life. And Brett Veach is... he doesn't have to do that. He's fine. Brett knows his place, and he can do it. He's fine.
After a while, it gets tiresome when everyone look, Andy, fine. Clark, sure. Mrs. Hunt, of course. Patrick, fine. But, Pat, that's not my issue isn't with you, Pat. It's with guys like... Did you see Demetrius Harris is tweeting at me? Demetrius Harris is using hashtag don't tell Veach. Meachy! How am I supposed to look my kids in the face, man? No one respects me.
I got the job as general manager. That's how they respect you. That's how they respect you. Pat, you don't have to. Do what you do. I cannot believe you're so wrapped up into this. This hurts you like this. Silly. Newsflash.
Serta's Newsflash.
More power to you, Pat. I want him to turn it up, actually, now.
The NCAA is forming a working group to consider how its rules can be modified to allow college athletes to be compensated for use of their names, images, and likeness.
Saw a lot of people getting excited about this and the possibility of NCAA football or basketball returning to PlayStation or Xbox. What has the NCAA done to make anyone believe that when they have these meetings, that they'll reach the proper conclusion, everything will work out well, and, well, they came to their senses and did the right thing? What have you seen from the NCAA to read this and go, oh, this is great. This will end well.
There's going to be some hell of a catch. Like, I feel like if it happens, there's going to be some catch that really benefits the NCAA and the teams and the universities in a major way.
These kids ain't getting anything.
I feel like it's going to be like just a little check that they get. Just nothing to nothing. Like, I just think that the universities are going to end up making out more. There's no way they would do this to help these kids when they've never, ever done anything like that.
Why would these adults part with money and give it to kids?
Nope.
That just doesn't happen in a billion-dollar business. And maybe the NFL will start doing right by its players, too. Maybe they'll have a meeting about, let's start taking care of these guys long-term. That's not going to happen.
Got some bad news, boys. Juliana Zobrist filed for a divorce from former Royal star Zobrist.
Oh.
That's too bad.
That is awful.
I'd never want to see love pushed. I don't even know if we should talk about it.
I mean, they could still love each other. Maybe it's just not working. That is... Man, that... She's singing the national anthem at all these games. Man, thoughts with the Zobrist family and those kids, man. That's awful. You hate to hear that. People really adopted that family in their short time here.
I mean, real short time. When they named that child Royal, that was it.
But vice versa. I think Royals fans invested in that family as well. There were a lot of...
Was she sang that national anthem?
Juliana Zobrist fans in Kansas City. But now, Royals fans, we got to pick a side.
No, I don't like where this is going. We don't have to pick a side.
Your friends get divorced. You don't hang out with both parties. You pick a side, Ron.
And, I mean, they're both good-looking people.
Okay,
they're both going to love a cat.
I'm bringing a plate over to Ben's house. That's where I'm going.
Oh, yeah.
Prayers out to the Zobrists in Royal.
Ben's about to get crazy.
No, he's not going to get crazy.
Come on, man.
But I choose Ben.
Ben's a good-looking dude, too.
He's really not. He's very much like me.
He's not.
Just
Easily forgettable face.
I think you got Ben beat.
I think you're being nice.
I'm not. No, Ben.
He's being nice. I stood next to Ben Zobrist once.
You're more handsome than Zobrist.
Yeah, I don't think you know what handsome. I don't think you know what handsome guys are,
right? Because Steve, you're a handsome guy.
I know that, but I'm not that kind of handsome.
Stay strong, Ben.
Yeah, that really.
Juliana,
that,
keep fighting.
That really has concern for me that you don't find Ben Zobrist attractive. I thought you did better than that. You opened my eyes to Joe Flacco, and now you're saying stuff like this, Ben's it. He's a six. Easy. Coming up. All right, I haven't heard this yet, but Vern is saying that we are going to have to try to make it up. We're going to have to lift up George Brett on his 66th birthday. I don't know why. I don't know what happened. Vern's got a surprise for me, but I guess we got to lift the spirits of the greatest Kansas City athlete we have, George Brett.
Show and Vern, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending at kclend.com.
Welcome back in. A big 12 o'clock hour coming up. Your next chance to win $1,000 coming up at 12:30. And as well, Cody Tapp, our Royals insider, will be with us. Big week, even for a team that is in last place right now. Big, big week this week for the Royals with Nicky Lopez coming up. So a lot to get to with the beautiful Cody Tapp.
Yeah, we got to do something to lift up George.
Yeah, what is this? Because you won't tell me.
Second straight day, Ron. We got to go back to Fesco in the morning.
Oh,
you know, I listen to him on my drive-in each and every morning.
I do, too. I just must miss these.
Yeah, this is from, again, this day in history.
Oh, God. This must be when I'm not in.
Yeah, it's right around, like, 7:05.
Oh, yeah, I catch it every morning.
Yep. Yeah, that was it. I was in the car. I must have been.
So today is George Brett's 66th birthday, and Ryan Witkowski made mention of that in today's edition of This Day in History.
And George Brett, the legend, he turned 66. Happy birthday, legend George!
Happy birthday, George. We know you're listening this morning, so happy birthday to you.
All of that happening on this day in history.
Best athlete to ever play in Kansas City.
Now Patrick Mahomes is here.
Not yet, not yet.
Ryan. God,
they too.
Now, George does listen. George and Fesco have a relationship that goes back for years. George listens to Fesco in the morning. So imagine you on your birthday, you're George Brett, 7:05 in the morning, you're listening to your guy, Bob Fesco, your show, Fesco in the morning. And then Ryan Witkowski, it's your day. It's your day.
And you know that's a sensitive subject for him.
Ryan Witkowski jumps in with, hey, Bob, before you say that George Brett is the greatest athlete we've ever seen in Kansas City, are you forgetting about Patrick Mahomes? Look, George Brett is one of the 20 greatest baseball players of all time, and yet he's still a human being, you know?
He's still competitive as hell,
still
right?
Flesh and blood, man.
Right? It's seething in him. You know that's a sensitive one for him.
Now, George can put a smile on. He'll still go about his day and shake the hands and enjoy his birthday, enjoy the round of golf, enjoy being around the people that he's going to be around. But that comment?
It's going to stick with him.
Oh, that comment's going to bounce around in his head all day.
You remember we reported him showing up at 11 o'clock to that Villanova-Kansas game because he felt him nipping at his heels.
You think George doesn't know what Patrick Mahomes is on the cusp of doing? He knows that Patrick's going to take all his shine.
I would say, George, it's 66. Get over it.
What the hell does that even mean, Steve?
It's 66. It's not like it's 70. 66 isn't a milestone birthday.
George, as the clear leader of this show, I want to speak right to you. Turn that up a little bit, George. This is Ron the show. On the off chance that you're listening to this, which we know you're not. He doesn't mean that. He doesn't know what he's saying. Ryan got away from him as well. And George, I am sorry. We know you are
it's
number
66.
One. You're number one with a bullet. and it's easy. You're the Hall of Famer.
You're
the
one with the ring. I bet George doesn't even care that it's his birthday.
He may be 66. The greatest to ever
Shut
do
up.
What he did, play
Shut
third base.
Up. We understand the amount of votes and the percentage and how high you were in one of the top three ever in terms of Cooperstown.
I haven't
we
celebrated
understand
a birthday
it.
In years.
All
I
right.
bet George doesn't do it either.
This person talking isn't a human being.
It's 66.
And that is true. So, George, I am sorry on behalf of Show and Vern. Hell, 610 Radio. What we do here for folks who are turning 66 or having a birthday, we turn it out for you. And, George, I hope this lifts you up. If you're thinking about that, and Pat, nip it on your heels.
Nah, man.
I hope this lifts you up on a one and a two and a three. Happy birthday to ya. Happy birthday to ya. Happy birthday. Happy birthday to ya. Happy birthday. The
second pick will be made by the Memphis Grizzlies. Oh. And that means that the number one pick in the 2019 NBA draft goes to the New Orleans Pelicans.
Oh, yesterday Ron says, please don't send Zion to Cleveland. How about that, Ron? How about New Orleans? How's that sound?
New Orleans is better than Cleveland, I think. I think, it's better. The town is better than Cleveland. They had Katrina, so New Orleans is better than Cleveland. But if anyone ever says that the NBA is rigged, stop. All right? Nothing about yesterday is what would have been the best for the league. Nothing. This right now, the number one thing with a bullet that it does, which is to me the most important thing in the league, it hurts LeBron James. The opportunity to trade Anthony Davis, to me, is lowered because he's there. They're going to really probably try to build around him. And it's lowered, the opportunity there. And the assets were struggles anyway for the Lakers to get him, but this makes it worse for me. You would want Zion to be another star in the Eastern time zone because you could play your games and have big stars in your first games. All right? LeBron left that crushed time slots for ESPN and TNT in the early start. You got almost all your stars out west. Here's another one out west. Only one you had is Giannis, maybe, and he's bigger than Giannis and the Sixers. And then again, you also had the chance to have him with the Knicks, the biggest city and one of the bigger brands in the NBA. So them going to New Orleans and Memphis getting the second pick? No, no way. Anyone ever saying that the NBA is rigged, that is complete proof. Nothing about yesterday's draft lottery ended up in the way that would be the best thing that the league could dream up. Nothing.
While that was going on, I know you were shining on KCTV5. I'm watching that NBA draft lottery, and they, first of all, great production.
Did
that
they
it was
put it together, huh?
It was fantastic.
Thrilling.
So they go to commercial, and you know what the top four teams are going to be. It's the Grizzlies, the Pelicans, the Knicks, and the Lakers. When we come back, we'll find out the top four. There's no way it's not going to be the Lakers or the Knicks.
No way.
So as it's unveiled and we realize that it's Memphis 2, Pelicans 1, man, I stood up, walked away from the TV and said, that's stupid. You should have rigged it. You should rig something like that.
You said the hell with it. You should have.
But I think that's the baseball fan in me. Because I think basketball, like the NFL, it's big enough to overcome a small market. Right? Aaron Judge wouldn't be the same kind of star in Kansas City. It's good that he ended up in New York. Baseball needs that. Basketball, if Zion's the truth,
no.
we'll watch a lot more Pelicans games.
Yeah, the league would have. I'm just saying, not saying it can't work. I mean, Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook, they play just outside of Norman, Oklahoma, and they work, and people care about them. LeBron was in Cleveland. People care about them. It'll work, but the league, it would have been better if he's in New York. I mean, it would have been better to have that franchise. There are more Knicks fans that would tune in just across the country. It would just, man, if he was with the Knicks or the Lakers, come on. Good night. Like, you want those teams. It's good when the league has the Celtics and the Sixers and the Knicks that are viable and the Lakers viable. Like, to me, you watch it. I mean, Chris Paul made the Clippers better. We started to watch the Clippers a little bit when him and Blake were there. It can work, but it's not ideal. New Orleans isn't ideal, so the it's rigged thing.
See, I just think they got to change the name. No one's taking the damn Pelicans seriously.
I don't think so.
Weird-ass uniform.
Yeah, the beignets. The crawfish. Ooh. The po' boys.
Go ahead.
Just all food here.
The baby cakes.
There you go.
All right. Show stamp of approval dropped last night to 4-4, and I know exactly whose fault it was. Don't laugh at me. It wasn't my fault. I was right on it. Right on it. Damn it, Alex Gordon.
Show and Vern, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending at kclend.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.